Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
And welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Happy to be with you this hour with Tim Staples, next hour with Carlo Broussard. So you know it's going to be a great day here at the Chesterton Studios where we record Catholic – or where we make Catholic Answers Live. I was going to say we record Catholic Answers Live. I guess we do record it. But
right. Is this where we make the magic happen?
That's what I was looking for. That's what I was looking for. Make the magic happen. This hour – if you're not Catholic, this hour is for you. If you are Catholic, this is an hour to listen and maybe say a prayer for us. But we reserve the phones for those who are not Catholic. It's an open forum for non-Catholics. If you're not a Catholic for any reason, whether you – maybe you never heard of us before. You're just tuning in. You're like, what's that? Well, give us a call. We'll share that with you. Or if you have some serious question that has been bothering you about the Catholic Church or anything you'd like to know. Yes, Tim?
Can I share something?
Yes, please. That's Tim Staples.
Yes. Yeah. You know, every so often I have to say, Si, whenever I do this particular broadcast, open forum for non-Catholics only, I just kind of smile inside because it just reminds me of the years when I wasn't Catholic.
Ah.
And if I would have heard some clowns like Tim Staples and Si Kellett saying what we're saying, I would have laughed and said, oh, my gosh, these people are insane. Because I thought Catholicism was one of the most dopiest creations that anybody had ever come up with. Of course, I encountered a Catholic who really knew his faith. But
you wouldn't have called. You would never have picked up the phone and said, come on.
Doubt it. I think I would have listened and I would have laughed. I might have picked up a phone, but I probably would have just listened and laughed. Now, if something really got my goat, yeah, maybe I would have picked up the phone. But you know what, folks? What happened to me is I encountered a Catholic many years ago when I was serving in the United States Marine Corps who was really ready, willing, and able to defend his faith. And he got me started on an odyssey that took me about 2 years of intense. I was reading everything I could get my hands on, trying to disprove Catholicism, and that's why I'm Catholic. So maybe you're listening and you're like I once was. You know, you just think Catholicism, no way, crazy. Give me a call because I would love to hear what you have to say about the Catholic faith. And hopefully, you know, if nothing else, let's just talk about it. Because we want to put on the table what the Catholic Church actually teaches.
That's right. And if you are as Tim was at one time and you just feel it's just ridiculous, you can call and say it's ridiculous. We'll talk about it with you.
Amen.
And we won't be mean. I don't think we'll be mean. We're clowns, but we're not mean clowns.
That's right.
888-318-7884 is that number, 888-31-TRUTH, if you prefer it that way. Tim Staples is the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers in San Diego, the author of Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines, which we are both now holding up. I have the heavier copy. It's the hardback. You have the paperback.
That's right. That can be used as a weapon. Yeah,
a spiritual weapon or a physical weapon,
yes.
Depending on what you do with it. Tim, you're traveling a lot right now. I noticed that. I see you with your bag.
I am. I'm out the next 7 out of 8 weekends. It's wonderful. One of the things that I love to do as a Catholic apologist, and I've been doing now, I can't believe, for 23 years professionally. And that is traveling the world defending the Catholic faith. You know, I've been to 5 different continents, and I've been to more countries than I can recount. I would have to really think about it because it's been a lot of countries. And I do need to say this. I have been to 49 out of 50 states in the United States proclaiming the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we alone possess as Catholics.
Wait, which state are you missing? Is it Alaska?
Hawaii.
Oh, Hawaii, you haven't been there proclaiming.
That's the only one.
We're on the air there.
I know. So I want to ask you that are in Hawaii right now, where have you been and why haven't you called? Give us a call here at Catholic Answers because I want to come speak in Hawaii.
And Tim really does want to do it because he wants to share the gospel. But Amen. It's also not, Hawaii.
Not just to get that last feather there, but yeah.
Right, right. 888-318-7884. This hour, open forum for non-Catholics. Anything you would like to know about the life, the faith, the history of the Catholic Church, we are happy to share that with you. 888-31-TRUTH. And Tim, if I said to you, just this is off topic a little bit, but I'm just curious. If I said to you, Tim, what are the 30 best movies ever made?
You've been to my website.
What? Oh, what makes you think that? I was fascinated by
that. Yes. Yes. For those who haven't been to my website, timstaples.com, I do have some fun on the website. In fact, I just put up today, no, last night, I think, or was that this morning? I forget. I'm doing right now my 30 top movies of all time, and it actually started, Si, I started out to just do my top 10.
Oh, but it was too many. Yeah.
It was just, I
couldn't. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, I just thought of that. Tim Staples does a top 10, but it's got 30 items in it. That's perfect.
So it ended up, I wrote the first one, and the first one, I have to admit, it was way too long on It's a Wonderful Life. I ended up recounting the whole movie, and I'm going, this is not how you write these things. I went ahead and left it, but my first blog post was going to be the only, my top 10. But then it became my top 30 movies, part one, my top 10. And then part two, I just put up this morning, is 11 through 20. And now I'm working on 21 through 30. But check out the website at timstaples.com. I've got a lot of different things from, you know, a lot of things. I talk about sports. I talk about magic. I talk about movies. I talk about lots of things. And, of course, apologetics, theology, and maybe it's some little political things here and there.
You
although,
talk about Pope Francis, too,
yes,
a lot. I've noticed that.
I have four up there right now. Four of my six most recent posts are defenses of Pope Francis. So, yes, check it out.
Well, I had to see which Mr. Deeds it was, because you had Mr. Deeds on your list.
Don't even tell me. The remake, the remake ought to be destroyed. Adam Sandler, did you hear me? No, Mr. Deeds with Gary Cooper is a classic. If you haven't seen that, that isn't in my top 10. In fact, I think I have about four or five Capra movies in my top 30.
Well, you're going to – I feel like I'm going to enrage you with this, but I've seen the Adam Sandler one. I haven't seen the –
Get me a weapon. Get me a weapon. Well, trust me. Yeah. Watch the original, and you'll see why I couldn't finish watching the remake.
Well, it did seem like Adam Sandler doing Capra, though. Like he wanted to make something that was a very
positive thing. It's just that the Gary Cooper movie is such a classic, and you know, it's like trying to improve on the Mona Lisa. You're going to end up putting a mustache on it, and it ain't going to work.
Yeah, right. All right, so yeah, I'm looking forward to the next 10.
Yeah,
I want to see how many of them I've seen too. I've seen a Cinderella Man was, I think, the number 11 today.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember what else was there, but I've seen a bunch of them, but not the original Mr. Deeds.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it.
You must see it. All right, brother. It's good to know somebody's looking at my website.
Yeah, I'm the one. When you see that little ticker go over to one, that's me. We better take a break. Lines are starting to fill up, but we welcome your call, 888-318-7884. Open forum for non-Catholics this hour. If you are not a Catholic, whether you have left the Catholic faith or never been a part of the Catholic faith, we're happy to take your calls. This hour, Tim Staples, our guest, 888-31-TRUTH, our number. This is Catholic Answers Live, and we'll be right back.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you coming to the Catholic Answers Conference this September?
You guys put on a great show, so it's well worth coming.
Very powerful, very motivational and moving.
I think it's awesome. It's been really amazing to get to know people from all across the country.
Every time somebody's speaker finishes, I feel like I want to cry just because of how happy I am.
It's been pretty phenomenal. Very educational, enlightening.
This year's conference is September 28th through the 30th here in beautiful San Diego, and we want to see you there. Seats are still available, but act now because they are going fast. Call us today at 1-888-291-8000 or visit CatholicAnswersConference.com now and reserve your spot.
This is where it starts, and it definitely has started for me.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 23:27, Jesus chastised the scribes and Pharisees who appeared righteous on the outside, but inside were filled with hypocrisy and evil doing. At the heart of such evil rests the lie that denies God's supreme authority over each of us, and therefore the ultimate evil. Every sin participates in this lie to some degree. Its seriousness becomes quite evident in the way our Blessed Lord reacted to it. When I was a novice, I happened to go into the chapel when the neighbor's 6-year-old daughter was showing a little boy the confessional. When she saw me, she said, "My brother says this is where you tell your lies." Out of the mouths of babes. She didn't know how true her words were. For young children, their childhood lies comprise the bulk of their sins. Life is more complicated for us adults, but it is only the truth that sets us free. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Lots of calls on the line. We'll get to those right away because this is an open forum for non-Catholics. We want to make sure we address as many questions as we possibly can. 888-31-TRUTH, the number if you would like to speak with Tim Staples about any aspect of the life or faith of the Catholic Church. Just as long as you're not Catholic, you're welcome to call today. I hate to give away your number one movie, but it was Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, right? Was your?
Although I do love that movie, but
do I have it right? Was that The Undiscovered Country VI?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Actually, that didn't make my top 30, but it's darn close. I really like that one. That would be in my top 50, maybe. Yeah.
Yep. And I've learned never mention Adam Sandler in your presence. I'm kind of a fan of Adam Sandler.
No, I like Adam Sandler. He's a good guy. In fact, I have it from inside sources that you know, he's a practicing Jew, kind of a liberal Jew, but a very good man who respects religion and will never be disrespectful toward those who are religious.
Yeah.
You know, he's a good man.
Right. I'm glad we settled that. I feel better now. I can talk about Adam Sandler on the show. Chris in Reno, Nevada, listening on 99.1 FM. You are on with Tim Staples. What would you like to know about the Catholic Church?
So I had a question about the Shroud of Turin.
Yes.
Doesn't the Bible say that Jesus was wrapped in strips of linen, and then the Shroud of Turin is just one big cloth?
Right.
I was just curious.
Very good question. Actually, that you're probably looking at the RSV that says strips of linen cloth. Actually, the Greek word there, athonion, doesn't necessarily mean like strips of linen cloth. It can be translated simply as a linen cloth. And you see later, for example, in Revelation 20, that it does. I think the problem I once had was with the two pieces, because there was a piece that the head was wrapped in and then a larger piece that the body was wrapped in. And so why did you have this one? And the way I have always understood it is that there were multiple wraps. It's not as though, you know, when they wrapped dead bodies, there was only one cloth. But his head would have been wrapped as well as his entire body. And so when you look at the Shroud of Turin, this is obviously a miraculous image, period. The fact that it is even there, when in fact he would have had his head wrapped as well as his entire body, tells you that the image itself is miraculous. And as the scientific studies that I've seen for it, what convinced me of its truthfulness, one of the many things that convinced me was the fact that when you look at the image, there's roughly, you know, the fibers of that are used in the actual linen there. Imagine about, as I recall, 40 or 50 microfibers that are twisted into each fiber. The image itself is like a photograph, number one, and it is so superficial on the image that only the outer two or three little microfibers are affected. If you turn the shroud inside out, it's completely blank on the other side. It's like a photographed image. And then when you start looking at the detail of this image, what's amazing to me is there's really no, I mean, there's been some scientific studies that have tried to repeat it, but nobody's been able to do it. It's an incredibly miraculous image itself. I mean, the image itself is miraculous. So the fact that there was two linens, one that wrapped the head and one that wrapped the whole body, some would argue, well, then why would the image be so perfect of the entire body? I say, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's one of the many reasons why when you look at all the scientific studies that have been done on it, I mean, there's, oh my gosh, I forget now. It's been a while since I looked at this, but scores, I mean, over 40 tests, every single one of them demonstrates its veracity, except for the carbon dating
right.
was the one test that said, well, no, it was dated to the Middle Ages. See, it's a fraud. But actually, now that, you know, you take a step back, we know that it was in a fire in the Middle Ages. So, of course, the carbon dating could be, especially since they took the samples from, not from the middle, but from the outsides, which were damaged in the fire, that easily explains the carbon dating. And yet you have all these other, let's say 30 plus, as I recall, I don't know if it was 40 total or whatever. Unbelievable the amount of evidence that demonstrates that that thing is true.
Yeah.
But folks want to grab on to anything that disproves it and hold on to that. And I'm not sure why. Unless folks just don't want to believe. But, you know, you don't have to. As a Catholic, we don't have to believe in the shroud. That's not an article of our faith. This is something that Catholics can examine. You can accept it or reject it. I examined it years ago, and I believe that it is authentic. But does that help you there? I think the key there is to take a look at athonion, the Greek word for linen, and it doesn't mean necessarily strips of linen. It can just mean linen cloth.
Chris has left us.
He left us. Okay.
Right. Yep. You blew him away with that.
Well, hey, I give it my best.
I think he's going to RCIA right now. He's on his way. 888-318-7884. The number, open forum for non-Catholics all this hour. We go now to John in Los Angeles, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. John, what's your question for Tim Staples? Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Oh, hey. I wasn't sure if you're on. I was in my Bluetooth in my car.
All right.
Can
Welcome.
Try to talk right into it there, John.
All right. Let's get straight to it. I'm not a Catholic. I am thinking about converting to Catholicism. I go to church. I try to go to church as much as I can. My question is, are there ways to be a better Catholic or Christian? Because I feel like when I go to church, I only pray for my own personal intentions. I mean, in a way, I feel kind of selfish. I'm just praying for whatever I need or my own personal gains. Like, so are there things I can do to get back? Or
oh my goodness, yes, John. I really appreciate your call. In fact, I would recommend, as far as the prayer part, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, you may not be familiar with it, John, but this is, I thought I had one here, but there's probably one back there. The Catechism of the Catholic Church is kind of an exposition of the ordinary magisterial teachings of the Catholic Church. Of course, it includes a lot of infallible teaching, but it's a wonderful exposition. I recommend it to everyone of our Catholic faith, and there's a whole section in there on the Our Father. And I would recommend, John, for anyone, and for those watching, I'm holding up the catechism that my friend and colleague Cy Kellett was so kind to get and grab for me. But there's a whole section on the Our Father, and I recommend it for folks because the Our Father, of course, is the prayer that Jesus gave the apostles in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, that gives us a great model for prayer coming from the Master himself. And you'll notice, John, in the Our Father, we don't start with, and I agree with you, John, sometimes I'm the same way, especially when there's problems in my life, man. I just, Lord, give me this, 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 and this. And you know what, John, that's okay. You know, at times we're hurting. I mean, God the Father loves us, and we come to him, we pour our heart out. That's what God wills. But you're right, John, if you want to grow in your Christian faith and go deeper, the Our Father is a great way to model prayer. And notice Jesus says, Our Father who art in heaven. The prayer starts with the acknowledgement of God. Hallowed or holy is your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you start, and obviously the Our Father is meant to be recited, but it's also meant to be that model so that, you know, we don't just say it, but we can break it down, we can meditate on it and really make it our own by starting just by praising God and thanking him for the fact that he created the entire world. He created you, John. He created me. He gave us everything that we have. Holy is your name. Thy kingdom come. Getting your mind off yourself and onto God. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And from there, then, yes, give us this day our daily bread, referring to the Eucharist there, our, actually in the Greek text, it's our super substantial bread. I love the Latin Vulgate, by the way. It actually translates that epiousion as super substantialis, our super substantial bread, referring to the Eucharist, which is, of course, as St. Ignatius of Antioch called it, the medicine of immortality. It's the food for our spiritual souls, but it also refers to, Lord, help me to pay the bills, you know, give me my daily sustenance, right? I won't go through the whole Our Father with you right now, John, but it's a great way to really help us to pray after the manner of the Master himself, Jesus Christ, who revealed to us the will of God when it comes to prayer. And then, of course, there are many other forms of prayer that you'll read about if you check out our Catholic Catechism in the section on the Our Father. There's lots of different forms of prayer, but I think the Our Father is the best place to start. Does that make sense, John?
Yes, sir. Where would I find this again?
Yeah, well, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, I'm holding it in my hand. Of course, you're listening on the radio. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, you can get at any Catholic bookstore. In fact, we sell it here, I believe we still do, at Catholic Answers at Catholic.com. But it's an awesome, but you don't have to buy it. You can also go, there's a wonderful website called, it's from a little parish in Picayune, Mississippi, and it's St. Charles Borromeo, and it's S.C. Borromeo, B-O-R-R-O-M-E-O, SC, the letters, scborromeo.org, and it has the best search I've ever been able to find on the catechism. It's fantastic. The catechism is right there for you. You can search it. You can put in keywords, and check it out. I'm telling you, John, this catechism is a wealth of information for anybody who wants to know what the Catholic Church teaches. Here it is.
John, thank you very, very much for that call. 888-318-7884, our number. And Frank, in Nashua, New Hampshire, listening on 680 AM, why don't you share your question with us, and we'll see if we can get some of it before the break, but we'll probably have to take the majority of your answer after the break. Frank, welcome to Catholic Answers Live. What's your question?
God bless. My question is about confession. So
yes.
I was wondering where in Scripture it talks about going to confession.
Yes.
And what happens to a Catholic if they don't make it to confession before
sure.
they die?
Great question, Frank. I'll take the second one first. And if, in fact, you die, you know, you have the intention to go to confession, you get hit by a truck, right, on your way to confession, what happens? Do you go to hell because you didn't go to confession? No, we believe that God, you know, one thing that's beautiful about our faith, Frank, is that God will do what is right. God is infinitely just, infinitely merciful, and so God will judge every man absolutely in accordance with justice and mercy. So we don't have to worry about that. But what has been revealed to us and taught to us by our Catholic faith is that if somebody has the desire for Jesus, the desire, they're sorry for their sins, they have the desire to go to confession, and they can't through no fault of their own. They will receive the grace of the sacrament, even though they never were able to receive the actual sacrament. We'll pick that up after the break because I've got a few more things I want to share with you, Frank.
Don't go away, Frank, and don't go away if you're on the line. We've got plenty of time to get to your question, and we'll do the very best we can to do that. It's open forum today on Catholic Answers Live for anyone who is not a Catholic. If you're not a Catholic, give us a call, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.
We're ready and waiting for your call today on Catholic Answers Live.
Now is the time to make your plans for the 2017 EWTN Family Celebration. September 9th and 10th are the dates. And Worcester, Massachusetts is the place for our celebration of 100 years of Fatima. This is your chance to meet your favorite Catholic TV and radio hosts. Father Mitch Pacwa, Marcus Grody, Susan Conroy, Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, and Father Maurice Imelu. And best of all, it's free. For more information, go to EWTN.com/Family Celebration.
This is Tim Staples, Director of Apologetics at Catholic Answers, and I'm here to tell you about a unique new way we've come up with to share the truth of the Catholic Church with young people. Let's face it, many young people today have strayed from the path of faith. How many parents and grandparents have had their hearts broken by seeing young people stop practicing their Catholic faith, join another religion, or even give up faith entirely, often falling into a life of sexual sin? To keep young people strong in their faith, we need to find new and innovative ways to reach them. And to help in that endeavor, Catholic Answers has just published a brand new science fiction graphic novel called The Big Picture that's especially designed to reach young people. The Big Picture features almost 200 pages of full-color illustrations and a storyline that's easy to follow as our heroes come face-to-face with the drama and mystery of God's plan for the salvation of the world. Order your copy of The Big Picture today by calling 1-888-291-8000. That's 1-888-291-8000. Or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hey, Tim Staples, something really cool. I really do want to congratulate our cousins, our friends over there at EWTN. They have their first studio open now in the United Kingdom. Did you know that? They opened a new studio in the United Kingdom.
No way.
It's like a converted house in the village of Walsingham.
And wow. Was,
oh, no. I feel like Michael Caine's going to make an appearance now, but yeah.
Not Michael Caine.
Oh, yeah. It's going to help them expand the network in to Europe, produce programming for their European channels and all that. So, if you're listening and you are a supporter of EWTN, always. Maybe you want to congratulate them and make sure that you pray for that new effort they have.
That's
there
fantastic.
In the United Kingdom.
Fantastic. Now, we've got Frank on the line,
yes,
right?
Yes, we do. Frank, sorry to keep you waiting there, Frank, while I congratulated EWTN. You were asking about where in the Bible does it say that you should confess your sins to a priest, right?
Yeah.
Frank?
And Frank, are you still there?
Yeah. Before you do that, could
yes.
you clarify the
yeah.
first part of the answer? So,
yeah.
All right. Let's say I'm the type of Catholic that goes to church on Christmas and Easter.
Yes.
And in between that time, you know, we all sin, we all fall short.
Yes.
So, I sin, and you said if I had the intent to go to confession, mm-hmm. let's just say I didn't. Is it not good enough for me to go to God with my sins and ask for forgiveness?
Right. Well, it's always, Frank, it's always recommended. It's imperative, in fact, that we go to God and ask God to forgive us of our sins. Absolutely. But God gave us the gift of confession. For example, in John chapter 20, verses 21 through 23, the apostles, and this gets to the second part of your question, after the resurrection, Jesus appears to them and says, "Peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, so do I send you." He breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you forgive are forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. There, Jesus gives his power. The same way, think of it, Frank, the same way that he forgave the paralytic in Matthew 9, verses 2 through 6, right? He says, your sins are forgiven. He gives that power to the apostles and their successors, the church, to do the same thing he did. And that's for our healing, because just as that paralytic needed to hear those words, your sins are forgiven, we need it too, Frank, and that's why he gave us the priesthood to be his instrument to communicate that forgiveness. Now, for the person who goes to Mass, Frank, on Christmas and Easter, we've got other problems, because they're committing all sorts of mortal sins by not going to Mass every Sunday and holy days of obligation. And so there, Frank, what we need is evangelism. We need to evangelize that person to bring them back to their faith in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ came to this earth, Frank, to do many things, but one of them was to reveal the will of God and to give us, you know, the Sermon on the Mount. He's the new Moses. He commanded us to do certain things, and among them was to be faithful to the church that he established. For example, in Matthew 18, 15 through 18, he tells us we have to obey the church that he established, and that is the Catholic Church. So we need to evangelize folks, bring them into a right relationship with Jesus in his church. Then we can talk about the, you know, the problems with going, you know, Christmas and Easter. No, we've got to keep the Ten Commandments. One of them is to keep holy the Lord's Day. That means every Sunday. And as I mentioned, holy days of obligation. So while we're not legalists here, Frank, we don't say that, no, it's impossible. If you missed all the holy days and such last year, well, by golly, you're going to hell. No, you come to church, ask God to forgive you of your sins always. But then you must avail yourself to the sacraments that he gave to you for your healing. It's only, Frank, when people refuse to obey, that's when they're culpable of mortal sin. If they refuse to go to confession when they know they should. Does that make sense?
Somewhat. But
okay.
It seems to me that if you have a relationship with Jesus, you know, you should be able to go to him and confess your sins, and he will separate you from your sin as far as the east is from the west. So, and I can't quote all the scriptures you quote.
Mm-hmm.
I probably should have been more prepared. But it doesn't, to me personally, it doesn't make sense that a person that acts like a priest who also has sin, then, you know, that he can absolve me of my sin.
Yes.
You follow what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, he's fallen. He's not an apostle.
Sure.
He's not one of the apostles. He's not one of the 12.
But Frank, let's think about that for a moment. But the 12 apostles, they are men, right?
But they were the 12 apostles.
Yes, but they are men, and they were sinners, just like you and I are sinners. See, we believe that God can use sinful men like St. Paul, like St. Peter. In fact, if you want some more verses about confession, St. Paul is a good one to go to, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, he said, when I was among you Corinthians, whoever sins I forgave them in the person of Christ. See, and he'll also talk about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, that he, as an apostle, has received this ministry of reconciliation from Jesus, from God in Jesus Christ, who wills to reconcile the world to himself, but he does it through the ministry of, yes, these sinful men, the apostles. Now, Frank, we believe, as the Bible teaches, these men also had successors. In 1 Timothy 2:2, for example, St. Paul talks about that. Well, he also talks about in 2 Timothy 1:6 how he had laid hands on Timothy. He says, stir up the gift that is within you through the laying on of my hands. And then in chapter 2, verse 2, he tells him to then communicate the same gift to others who will be able to teach. So there was, through the laying on of hands, what we call apostolic succession, so that apostolic gift, among the many gifts, the forgiveness of sins, was communicated down through the centuries, so that today, as I said before, we can hear those same words, your sins are forgiven you. It's a tremendous gift that the church has. Now, Frank, when you say you think you should just be able to go to Jesus and get your sins forgiven, well, what if Jesus says you need to go to the apostles? Wouldn't you want to obey Jesus? Well, we think yes. And Jesus, Frank, knows better than you do what is best for you. And so by Jesus establishing the church and giving the church his authority to proclaim the gospel infallibly, the fullness of the truth, so that we can know the truth, to communicate his power to forgive sins so that we can be healed, we need to go to that instrument that Jesus established. Because, Frank, if there's one thing that's clear in Scripture, Jesus never said we just are to go out and create our own church and create our own. Well, I think Jesus should have said this, so I'm going to create my own religion where I can do whatever I want. That is simply not what Jesus Christ taught.
Thanks, Frank. We got to move on because we have a whole bunch of callers for this hour of open forum for non-Catholics. Open forum for non-Catholics. Yeah. I don't know why that sounded wrong to my ears when I said it.
It sounded so right to me.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Tim Staples, Director of Apologetics and Evangelization.
That's right.
Catholic Answers. If I say it fast, I know I'll mess it up. If I say it slow, I mess it up. Is taking your calls. We go to Jim in Gladewater, Texas, watching on YouTube. And since you're calling from Texas, Jim, let's first ask, how's everything where you are?
Oh, man. Right now, it's been raining a lot, but in Houston, it's pretty torn up.
And, wow. And I don't know where Gladewater is in relation to Houston. Are you far from there or near there?
We're about 4 hours away.
Okay. Oh, okay. So you're getting the rain.
Did you get any flooding where you are?
No.
No. Well, praise God for that.
Amen.
We are certainly praying for all the folks in Houston and Corpus Christi and now into Louisiana as well. But what's on your mind, Jim?
Well, Tim, I'm about to bring you a good one.
Okay.
it's kind of along the lines of predestination. Like, I know in the Bible, when it talks about predestination, it's talking about the knowledge that God has. He's not actually picking and choosing who's going to get saved and who's not going to get saved. But
exactly,
my question is kind of like, it's really confusing to me. How far does God's knowledge on that go? Because since he does know everything,
yes,
and he knows if someone's going to go to heaven or hell, why would he make them anyways?
Yes, that is a great question, Jim, and there is a certain mystery involved here. To be sure. But here's what we know, what's been revealed to us, Jim, is that God, in his infinite wisdom, created his rational creatures, both men and angels, with this great gift called free will. If that, Jim, as you know, this is clear from Genesis to Revelation, right? God gave Adam and Eve a choice. You can eat of all the other trees, but not this one, right? Go to Genesis chapter 30, right? Deuteronomy chapter 30. Moses says, I set you before you this day, life, death, good, evil. Choose life. All the way to the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. As you know, Jim, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and fellowship with him and he with me. And there's a ton of other scriptures we could look at. But free will is crucial. Why? Because without free will, there's no love as we understand it. And God willed for there to be love. He wanted his creatures to know love and to freely love him, right? Well, if that's true, well, then God, in a certain sense, and think of this, Jim, this is a mind blower for me. God created man with this incredible dignity, and God respects the dignity of the creatures that he created. And so God, in a sense, loves us and respects us so much that he allows us to make choices. And, you know, I know as a father, I don't will for my children to make bad choices, but I also can't run around and make choices for them without them becoming disturbed little individuals, right? You have to take your hands off and let your children make choices, even though you know they're going to fall. Well, Jim, we have such an incredible dignity, and God knows that the choices we make over our 70 years, right, or more if we're stronger, as Scripture says, eventually do have eternal consequences. That's incredible. But Jim, that speaks to our dignity as human beings. And then when you look at what God has done on his end, you know, not just in creating us and giving us this entire universe where the heavens declare his glory and giving us all sort of opportunity to choose him, but he became one of us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The word was made flesh, was beaten, pummeled, crucified for our sins. Well, Jim, I see two essential truths here. Number one, God respects me so much, he will allow me to go to hell if I want to. But number two, he doesn't want me to. And he's done everything from even being incarnate and dying on the cross for me to ensure that my eternity will not be in hell, but will be in eternity in union with him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a great point. Like, that's kind of like, you know how God knows what we're going to do before we're born.
Sure.
Like, he knows
absolutely
if we're going to go to hell.
Yes.
So,
why didn't he just kill everybody that's going to go to hell? Right?
Like, why make us in the first place?
Right. Well, the answer is everything I just shared with you. See, God has given us this immeasurable dignity to where we make the choice. God doesn't choose for us. Just as with my children, I don't choose for them. God says, I'm creating you. And this is what you have to understand, Jim. Yes, God knows what we're going to choose because he's God. He can't not know. He's omniscient. That means all-knowing. But he doesn't choose for us. In fact, he gives us a very important point to remember, Jim, as in the documents of Vatican II, Gaudium et Spes, paragraph 22, tells us God gives every human person that has ever, will ever be born, sufficient grace to participate in his passion and death so that they can be happy with him forever in heaven. That's the most important thing to remember. Yes, he gives us freedom. He's not going to make our choices for us. We have to do that ourselves. But he has gone before us and has given us every opportunity and the grace for salvation.
Jim, thanks so much for that call. And since you're there in Gladewater, Texas, gives me an opportunity to remind folks that you can help the victims of Hurricane Harvey down there in Texas through a special fund set up by the Knights of Columbus. If you'd like to help that way, just go to kofc.org and click the box marked Help Hurricane Victims. That's kofc.org. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more open forum for non-Catholics on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
This is Harry Connick Jr., and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Bibles contain several books that aren't found in Protestant Bibles, and controversy has swirled around these books for hundreds of years. Protestant apologists often make charges like Catholics have violated God's Word by adding books to the Bible. Jesus and the apostles didn't honor these extra Catholic books. The New Testament never quotes these books, or the books contain clear historical and theological errors. Such arguments can catch Catholics flat-footed, leaving them not knowing how to understand. But now, Catholic Answers is coming out with a brand new edition of apologist Gary Machuda's classic work, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger. In this new and improved edition, Gary exposes many commonly held myths and uncovers little-known and surprising facts concerning these books that Protestant Bibles have lost. Developing and distributing informative resources like Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger is the kind of effort your generosity makes possible. To make your donation and to get a free copy of Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger, visit Catholic.com and click the Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger banner, or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger banner at Catholic.com, or call toll-free 888-291-8000.
Face it, it's tempting and easy to be a man of the world. Father Terrence Ehrman has a challenge for you. Be a man of God instead. In his new book, Man of God, Father Ehrman draws on his experience counseling men who are struggling to live in the world but not be of the world. In a unique, easy-to-read format, he offers holy spiritual direction for all men who want to master themselves and be transformed from within. Order your copy of Man of God today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to this hour of Open Forum for Non-Catholics. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest this hour, Tim Staples, Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers. And our next caller is, oh, you know what? I'm not going to go to a caller. I'm going to actually read this to you, Tim. Maria, okay. On YouTube. Because sometimes folks are watching on the internet and they type a question in. And Maria, so succinct, types in, why choose Christianity over any other religion?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That is an outstanding question, and I would recommend I have a DVD available here at Catholic Answers called Why Be Catholic, where I answer that question in about an hour and 20 minutes. But you know what? I basically chose Christianity because it was what I was raised in, Cy. You know, I didn't at 8 years old study all the world religions. I mean, in a certain sense, I'm very blessed to have been raised in a Baptist home where I learned about Christ. But I fell away from my faith in my teen years, and I became a skeptic. You know, I even claimed atheism when I was 16 and looked into other religions, mm-hmm. and such. And so later on, when I made the decision myself, I did consider other world religions. And I can tell you this. I would say to you, I accept Christianity because, number one, I believe in God. And because God is, you know, as omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, can be known through the natural light of reason. I know God exists just from, look, as St. Paul says in Romans 1, you look at the creation and you know there's a creator. And when I consider that God is absolutely one, he is infinite and all-powerful, and then I consider my own self, I knew from the time I was a kid, Cy, that I wanted a relationship with God. Well, I would later learn that all of us, we are created as spiritual creatures. We have an intellect that's ordered toward knowing the ultimate truth, which is God. We have a will that is ordered toward choosing the ultimate love, which is God, right? I am made, as St. Augustine said, right? Our hearts are made for thee, and they will remain restless until they rest in thee. I knew that I needed God and I wanted to have a relationship with him. But the problem is there's an infinite gulf between me and God. And when we search out, okay, how do I know this God? Well, I am bound to our questioner. I would be bound if that's all I knew, that God exists and that I'm made for him. And I can also know certain things about myself. There's the moral law written on my heart that I can know, like don't eat your neighbor. You know, that's something you don't have to have a Bible to tell you. You don't kill. You don't commit adultery. Basically, the Ten Commandments are written on our hearts. Well, if I didn't know anything else, I would be bound to do good and avoid evil and to seek God the best way I know how. And yet, that's not enough. And I think there's something inside of us that says that's not enough because God made us for him. How do we enter into a relationship with him? And this is where, you know, some philosophers say that God, in a certain sense, obligates himself. Because of the way he made us, he obligates himself. Now, God's absolutely free, but when he makes you in a certain way, he orders you toward himself. He obligates himself to reveal himself. Now, it may be that he hasn't revealed himself yet, because, you know, God doesn't have to do it when we think he should. If God hadn't revealed himself yet, then I'd be bound to follow that natural law written on my heart and to seek God the best way I know how. But I also have an obligation as a human being to seek. And I did. Has God revealed himself? And this is where the answer to our listener's question really comes in. Because, in fact, we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has, in fact, revealed himself in a real person, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago. And that truth, my friends, is knowable. In fact, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us in paragraph 643, The life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is a matter of historical fact. We have over 500 eyewitnesses, and not just believers, but unbelievers, people that were running in the other direction who, you know, didn't believe at all, who became believers because they saw a resurrected Lord. You had hundreds of eyewitnesses. You also have testimonies of people that weren't Christians writing about Jesus Christ. I mean, the evidence I found to be overwhelming. Whereas when I looked at the other world religions, I mean, you look at Hinduism, for example. You know, there's five major schools of theology in Hinduism. Four of the five are pantheistic. Right, what is pantheism? Pantheism means everything around us is God. You're God, I'm God, the table's God, the walls are God. You know, there's one thing I can know, Cy, and that is I'm not God. You want to know why? Because God is omniscient. He's right. Absolute perfection, and I'm not. So I can strike me off the list as being God. And everything around us, of course, is not God. Hinduism, I could scratch. Now, there's a minority among Hindus that are polytheists, and that's bogus as well because we can know God is one. Now, we don't have time to do all the world religions, but I can tell the listener, I went down, and I'd encourage you to get my DVD, Why Be Catholic, because I do go down the list of the other world religions and show you why. But what I discovered, and I'm excited about, and I live my life accordingly, is this person of Jesus Christ who really did live, really did die, and is resurrected from the dead. He claimed to be God. He proved he was God through his miracles that he performed. He established a church, the Catholic Church, that also has miracles in every generation for the last 2,000 years, documented many of them, miracles that are unexplainable other than by the fact that Jesus really did establish a Catholic Church and gave to it supernatural power. So that's kind of in a nutshell. There's lots more we could say, but I guess we do have other callers.
We do indeed. But Maria, on YouTube, and everybody watching on YouTube or Facebook or Periscope or wherever you're watching, thanks for watching. We'll go real quick to Chris in Bakersfield. Chris, you got to phrase that question pretty succinctly to give Tim time to answer it before the top of the hour.
Okay. Yes. It's one of those things that if you wanted to, you could answer for hours, but...
Yes. That's how are you for Tim?
One of the things to which Martin Luther objected, in fact, objectionable.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, there's no doubt there were bad things going on in the church, but as you may know, Chris, that happens in every generation and always will, because remember, the church is not a museum of saints. It's a hospital for sinners. We're sinners. All of us are, and there will always be sin in the church. In fact, that's why... You don't need to go out and start your own church. You need to stay in the church because that's the source of healing for all of us who are sinners. So, yeah, there were abuses, for example, when it comes to indulgences, although Luther got it wrong as far as his objections go. There's no doubt that they were rooted in some truth. For example, the famous Johann Tetzel, the Dominican who was preaching. Actually, his theology wasn't technically incorrect, but he was greatly sort of using hyperbole. He was exaggerating and making it, for example, the famous phrase, "You as the coin clinks into the bottom of the cup, a soul springs for purgatory." It was kind of a, you know, kind of like a television preacher, right? I mean, he's preaching and it became much too mechanistic to where people thought they were buying something, which he never actually taught. And of course, the Catholic Church never taught, but that was an abuse that the church dealt with. And by the way, the Fifth Lateran Council back in 1512 had something to say about indulgences and the proper use of indulgences 5 years before Luther. And of course, there were many in the church that were the true reformers, like St. Philip Neri, later Pope St. Pius V, St. Charles Borromeo, and so many others that we could talk about, St. Ignatius of Loyola, who were the real reformers. Unfortunately, Luther, yeah, there were some things that were objectionable, but he got totally wonky, created heresies, and the rest is history.
Thank you very much for that call. Thanks to everybody who called. Thank you, Tim Staples.
Too much fun, my friend.
Really too much fun. And I saw warming up out there in the bullpen, Carlo Broussard.
Look out.
So you know what? If you're on the line, you might want to stay on the line because it's a very similar topic. A rational approach to God's existence. Can we reason our way to... Well, Tim, you just answered that. I mean, you ruined the hour. You said, yes, we can. but Carlo's going to help us to do that. Show how it is that we reason to God's existence. Catholic Answers Live. We'll be right back with more after this.